And as you're turning there, let me just remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ has been with his disciples. They're over in the area of Tiberias. He makes a statement of fact to them and saying, "Let us go over to the other side." And it was really a challenge to the disciples to be given to the Word of God, or to recognize this morning that you and I need also to understand that there are going to be different trials and testings that come into our life, and we need to be those that are given to the spoken Word of God. In Proverbs in chapter 3, the Word says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." And He is directing the path of those disciples, readying them continually to be prepared for when He would leave and go to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, and that they would be leaders in the church. But as they go, remember that they get into the boat and a fierce storm comes upon them. And the storm comes upon them so much so that four fishermen, we're told, are fearful for their very lives. And the Lord allows for the calming of the storm to show once again that He is God and even has authority over nature. And when we get to the other side of the lake, we find ourselves here in Mark chapter 5 and in verse 1, where the Lord will show once again that He is the God over not only nature, but the God over all unclean spirits, over Satan and even demonic forces as well, as He proves His love for mankind once again in wanting to release or free a man from the bondage of that oppression, that sin that has taken place and He's allowed into His life. I want you to look at it with me, chapter 5 and verse 1, as we come to this passage in Mark. He says, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes." And so Jesus and the crew make it to the other side exactly as He said they would. Now, the mention of the Gadarenes is here. It is for the reason that there was a city called Gadara on the other side. There were also other 9 Gentile cities in the area. A little later in the passage, it will be known as the Decapolis, 10 cities that were there in the Gentile kind of influence on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. 8 miles away, straight away from Tiberias, just as the Lord had promised, they arrive on the other side. Let me just say again this morning that maybe that some of you are here this morning and you're going through a difficult time, a difficult trial, even as the disciples were in that boat going through that storm, and yet Jesus kept His word. He kept His promise. And so He wants to let you know this morning and to remind me that He keeps His promises, and that His promise for you and I is to give us a future and a hope. His promise for you and I is that if we are obedient to Him, that He will take us through and He will guide and direct our path. His promise to us is that if we'll trust in Him, if we'll put our focus on Him, if Matthew says we seek Him and His righteousness, then He'll do all the rest. He'll take care of the rest in our life. That you and I need to stay focused on Him and on the spoken Word of God that we have before us this morning. Well, the area is known as Amkis over there in Israel today. Some of those that have been with us on the trips to Israel have been able to see this place. We're going again, just making those arrangements, the end of February or March, looking forward to going back with Pastor John and Revival to be able to tour the land again, and hope that many of you will come. You'll be able to see, though this area and the city is very demolished, the caverns are still there, the burial caverns, and you'll be able to revisit this passage there with us. Well, as we move ahead in verse 2, we find a miserable dead man, really, coming out of the tombs. Look what it says. "And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man who had an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken into pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Now, I want you to think with me for a moment, if you will, about the disciples getting into the boat the other night and thinking that they were going to be getting away with Jesus and having a little time of rest. They've been doing much ministry as we've walked through the first four chapters of Mark. And now they get into the boat thinking that they're going to have a time to be able to relax and to be ministered, maybe one-on-one and with each other there with Jesus. And they get into the storm that takes place on the sea. They make it through that as Jesus calms the sea. They get to the other side and they've got to be excited about, oh man, we made it through that storm. We're going to get to the land. And as soon as they get to the land, the demoniac comes rolling out of the tombs. I don't know about you, but in my life, since I've come to know Jesus Christ, I've recognized that there is never a dull moment. It seems so much sometimes that we go from one testing and one trial to another testing and another trial, doesn't it? As we come to the Lord, it isn't all about a bed of roses and it isn't all about the glory. It will be one day, right? And when the Lord receives us into heaven or when he comes back to set up his kingdom here on earth. But for now, it is a time of testing and trial. It seems like every moment we're going through one testing and trial after another. And so it was, as the disciples roll up on the shore, you can imagine with the demoniac coming after them and what it would have been like for those men that were coming out of the boat with Jesus. I can only imagine that they were tripping over themselves as they were backpedaling toward the boat to be able to get away from the demoniac. But I want you to recognize a couple things from this passage. Number one is the man was dwelling in the tombs. It is really a picture for all of us to recognize that he was coming out of being dead or living amongst the dead. The living dead, we might say, is who we were before knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. I remind you from Ephesians, as Paul writes to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2 and verse 1, where he said, "He and you he made alive. You he made alive. We were dead in our trespass." Who were dead in trespass and sins. And so this man is coming out of the tombs and if you will, a picture for us of the death that there is in the bondage of sin. And I want you to recognize as well that as we look at that, that this man couldn't be tamed. No one could hold him. No bounds could hold him. No chains could hold him. If you will, he was in a hopeless situation until the Lord Jesus Christ comes and has an encounter with him. And I want you to recognize with me as well, as we think about the chains being broken and it really being a showing of force and strength, that in the world of drugs and alcohol, many times that's exactly what we deal with at U-Turn for Christ. It reminds me of men and women that have come into the ministry of U-Turn for Christ that have been using PCP, that are just, you've seen images probably on TV of those that police were trying to be able to hold in custody that had ripped away from them. And there were multiple police trying to hold a man down that was just out of his mind, intoxicated with drugs or alcohol. The next thing that I recognize here is that the man was living an isolated life. He was alone. He was out of the city and away from other people. He was hiding, if you will, and living in the tombs. And so it is with sin. Sin will isolate you from those that love you and those that care most about you. And then lastly, that he was cutting himself. And more than ever before, as I've been ministering in the drug world, if you will, and I've been dealing with many people that have been in all kinds of different activities in that world, More than ever before today, we are seeing men and women coming into the ministry that are cutting themselves. The oppression, the demonic possession, the sin that has engulfed them is so horrendous that they want to cut themselves to try and relieve the pain that they have emotionally, the pain that they have spiritually by inflicting some kind of physical pain. And we find them cutting themselves today, even as this man was. And I remind you of a passage that we have by Jesus Christ speaking in the Gospel of John in chapter 10 and verse 10. Would you turn there for a moment? John chapter 10 and verse 10. Because I want to make sure that we realize that the Lord has given us warning about what Satan is all about, what his demonic forces are all about, what giving way to our flesh and to the world of sin is all about. And he tells us here in John 10 and in verse 10, he says, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then he says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Now, there are many kinds of sin that we can be involved in, but recognize this, that it all is a part of the plan of Satan to bring destruction into one's life, to steal, to kill, and destroy. And so this man's life was being destroyed as he was invaded by demons that were living within him. And many in this room have seen the effects of this kind of destruction in your own lives or in the loved ones' lives that you know have been involved in drugs and alcohol and inviting, if you will, opening the door to demonic activity in their own lives. So many have come into the ministry, their lives completely destroyed, needing a touch from only one that can bring salvation and restoration, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see this man and his life being destroyed. I remind you of 1 Peter in chapter 5 and verse 8, where Peter writes, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil seeketh like a roaring lion who he may devour." And the word means to tear apart, to absolutely destroy. And so we find that you and I are called to be those that think with a clear mind, that continue to stay on watch, to be on guard, a military term, to be those that are looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be sober and vigilant. Don't allow for the enemy to bring destruction into your life. Now, as we move on, I want to be able to say this, because I think it's very important, that we in the church recognize a couple of things. And the first thing is that Satan and his demons are real, but they are infinitely less powerful than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. There is no way that we need to get mixed up on that. There are a couple things that are very important as we think about this, because too many people have spent too much time and too much study on demons rather than on the Lord Jesus Christ, and on Satan rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis once said that there's two faults with the people in the church today, and that is, one, they don't believe in Satan and demons at all. Two is they spend too much time studying them. And both of those scenarios are true. We need to recognize that Jesus spoke about them and made it very clear that Satan and demons are real, but that they are infinitely less powerful than the Creator Himself, God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's very important for you and I to hold this morning. Secondly, we need to recognize that it is biblically impossible for one who is born again to be demon-possessed. I ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians, if you would, for a moment, and to chapter 6 in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, as we have the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, we have this passage making sure that we recognize that our bodies are the temple of God, the Holy Spirit Himself. Chapter 6 and verse 19. And the word says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? And so the Bible is very clear that God the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and God is not going to share his residence with Satan. That's for sure. It is biblically impossible for one who is born again to be demon-possessed. Demon oppression, for sure. But more often than not, I believe it is man's will to give way to his flesh that we see, rather than even oppression. Well, let's move on. As we move forward, we see right words with a wrong heart coming out of this man, this demon before us. It says, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. And so we have this response from the demon that was within this man. And the word says, look at it again with me, it says that he came and worshiped him. It's a scary thought, isn't it? That one who is not born again can worship the Lord. Even scarier than that, look on down there, is that one who is not born again can call Jesus Son of the Most High God. It is a warning to us, I believe. It's one that we need to pay attention to. James tells us in chapter 2 and verse 19, you believe that there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. And so it is a call for us to be able to do really a self-inspection and to ask ourselves, are we just going through the motions? Or are we really given to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives? This demon recognized and understood that Jesus Christ was the Son of the Most High God. And yet, the Word of God shows us clearly that he was not truly seeking after God at all. He was just giving lip service. This morning, we have to ask ourselves, are we those that are giving lip service, or are we those that are really seeking after Jesus Christ and his lordship in our lives? Well, we move from there to verse 8, and the Lord speaking to the demon. Look what he says. He said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. And then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Many times I'll be talking to someone in the ministry of U-Turn for Christ, and they'll tell me that they're demon-possessed. And they'll say things like this to me. They'll tell me that they have the demon of fornication or lust or the demon of greed or the demon of drunkenness or the demon of drugs. And, well, you might even add in there, some people think they have the demon of shopping, huh? It's amazing how many demons that we place in that category of guiding and ruling us to do all the things that we in our flesh want to do. The Word of God tells us very clearly that these activities, these things are a work of the flesh. I read to you from Galatians 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, even just as I have told you in times past, that those who practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The Word of God is very clear to tell us. And I believe that more often than not, that it is simply men and women wanting to give way to fleshly desires than having anything to do with demon activity or demon oppression, even demon possession, as some want to make the excuse for. I've had men and I've had women come to me personally in the ministry and say to me, I've been smoking pot because I have the demon of marijuana. in me. I've had people come to me and tell me that the demon of cocaine continues to make me go back. No, it's the fleshly desire. It is the call to be able to give way to that flesh that calls one back rather than the demon. But here, as we look in the scripture, we have a man who is fully demon-possessed. And the Word of God says that he has a legion of demons. Or the Word tells us that his name is Legion. When you study that out, the Romans had legions which had 6,000 foot soldiers in that legion and 120 horsemen attached to that legion as well. And so scripture could be telling us that they had, that this man had that many demons possessing his body, or if you will, in hyperbole, the Bible just speaking about multiple demons that were possessing this man's life. Verse 10 goes on and says, and he begged him earnestly and said, earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. And a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain. And so all the demons begged him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter them. And you might underline this next phrase. And at once, Jesus gave them permission. I want to make sure that we recognize Jesus is in full control. And Jesus is the power that has the way and the will to be able to do whatever he wants with these demons that are have invaded this man's life. He gave them permission, and then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, and there were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. And so we have the leader of the demons asking that Jesus would have given them permission, or the Word says that all of them asked for permission to go into the swine. Jesus showing us once again that he is God and that he has power over unclean spirits as he gives the permission for them to be able to go. Many people have asked, why do the demons want to go into the hogs? Why into the swine? We're not sure. The Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe it was that, you know, the Jews that were watching over those swines, the one that were there, were compromising and dealing with unclean animals, and because of being able to sell them in the Gentile area there in Israel, were making a great living by it. And Jesus might have been swiping, if you will, at commercialism, if that's the case. But what we do know is that he gives us a very visual picture of him being the power that would tell the demons what to do, and that the demons had to ask for his permission to be able to move into the swine, showing us that once again, he is God Almighty. The incredible power unleashed as the demons were sent really by the Lord into the swine, and down the mountain they go into the sea. Well, move forward with me as we come to the freedom, if you will, of the encounter with Jesus. Says so, those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was that had happened. And then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Can you imagine being one of those that were feeding the swine and watching the demons come into the swine, and your whole herd just runs off of the cliffs and drowns into the Sea of Galilee? Freaked out they must have been as they went into the city to be able to spread the story of what had happened. And the Bible tells us what happens when they go in and share the story is that others that are hearing the story want to come out and see for themselves what had really taken place. And as they come out, what is it that they find? Well, they find the same thing that we find over and over again in the ministry of U-Turn for Christ. And that is, when one has a real and true encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, they are coming to a place just like this man, where they're, what does he say? Sitting and at rest in Jesus' lap. We see them coming and being clothed, or if you will, having a respect for others and no longer just living a selfish life, one that is given fully over to the flesh. And we see them as this man, one that is in their right mind. You saw the video of Pastor Aaron, and what a privilege it is to call him pastor today. But he was out of his mind when he was in Mexico. He was gone in all of his thinking. And you got to hear some of the testimony of that happening. But I'm telling you that it doesn't just happen in one life. It is over and over and over again as we see men and women come into the ministry of U-Turn for Christ, moms and dads and family members dropping them off and saying, I never want to see this man again. I never want to see this person again. And then only a few days later, a few weeks later, after they've come to know the Lord in a real and personal way, and they're clothed and in their right mind, watching moms and dads as we make phone calls, you've got to come and see your son. You've got to come and see what Jesus has done. Come to a service and sit with their son and weep with their son or weep with their daughter, and restoration of husband and wife coming together. Restoration of families being restored. It's an amazing thing to see, and it happens over and over again as we watch men and women come to a real and a true encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that in an audience this large, that there are many of you that have family members that are lost in the world of drugs and alcohol and all the deception that goes with it. The addictions are countless and endless now. That are out there just grabbing hold and ruining lives. And I want to just tell you this morning, you continue to pray. Give us the chance. Bring them to us. Allow us to be able to introduce them to the Lord, to be able to give them that time, as Aaron said, to sit at the feet of Jesus for 2 months and then watch what only God can do. These people got to see what the living God could do as he encounters this man filled with demons. Well, let's move on as we look at now a rejection even of the Savior after seeing what he had done. It says in verse 16, and those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. And then they began to plead with him, to plead with Jesus to depart from their region. It is crazy, isn't it, to get to this part of the passage? You would think everybody would be rejoicing. This man scared them to death. They're out in the tombs. He's crying and shouting and cutting himself up. They've tried to bound him, if you will, with chains, and he's broken them to pieces. They're fearful of him for sure. And now he's in his right mind. And yet they come and they are fearful of the Lord. They don't want to believe in the Lord. They don't want to give way to the Lord. And maybe you've recognized that in your own life. I have personally in mine. When I came to the Lord, I'd been involved in all kinds of drugs. I was manufacturing methamphetamine. And I was a mess. When I came to the Lord, it took 5 years before my family really accepted me back into the family and realized that it wasn't just a fad and it wasn't another game, but it was the Lordship of Jesus Christ that was going on in my life. And it was in the same, many of you may have experienced the same thing. How many of you have heard these kind of lines? You know what? I'm glad that you found Jesus. I'm glad it's working for you. I'm glad that you really have made a change, but, and they have just excused themselves to the Lord Jesus being the one that guides and controls their life. I want to say this morning, don't give up praying for them. Don't you stop praying for them. God is going to use your witness as you continue to walk with Him, continue to serve Him, to be able to bring them to a place where you're going to be able to speak a word of God. And as Isaiah tells us, it shall go forth from His mouth and accomplish all that He sent it to do. And you'll see loved ones come to know him as well. Well, these men, these women come, and they want Jesus to get out of their territory. It reminds me of John's gospel when Jesus is speaking. We all love John in chapter 3 and him speaking to us about him being the Son of God and us having those that believe in him having eternal life. But don't forget verse 19 because it's a warning to us. And verse 19 he says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men have loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Recognize that there are many that will not accept the witness that you have, the testimony that you give, because of their love for wickedness and their deeds being evil. Well, look on with me then as we see the Lord Jesus wanting to make sure that this man who was set free was going to be a witness for him. He says, "And when he got into the boat," verse 18, "he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you.' And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled." I can only imagine being this man. I remember what it was like, but I could imagine just being this man and wanting to go with Jesus. Can't you imagine? You know, Jesus has just set him free. Man, he doesn't want to leave him. He wants to go with him. But the Lord says, "No, I've got a bigger plan. And that is that you're going to stay here, and that all that see you are going to recognize who you once were and who you now are." What a blessing it is to be able to know who I once was, but who I now am. And I thank the Lord for His amazing grace that we sang about this morning, and allowing for one to be able to come from darkness, from being sin, the Word says, to being the light. And this man was called now to be able to go back and to give testimony. And I think it's very important that all of us recognize that each one of us have been freed from a bondage of sin. Maybe it's not alcohol. Maybe it's not drug addiction. But maybe it's the pride that Rosie spoke about. Maybe it's about your selfishness. Maybe it's one of the other sinful bondages that we can find ourselves in and think that we're okay with until the Lord puts His Holy Ghost spotlight on it and shows us what we need to repent of. But all of us have come from a sinful life. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible says. And now that we have come to the place of knowing Jesus and been set free from our sin, each one of us is called, just as this demoniac was called, to be a witness for Him. The Word of God in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says that we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we shall be witness to Him. In Jerusalem, that means right here in Menifee for you. In Judea and Samaria, in the outlying regions, in the county, and even into Mexico as you have gone many times, and then into the uttermost parts of the world. Let us never forget that God has not only saved us so that we might ourselves be able to be with Him for all of eternity, but that we might be a light into a darkened world right now, right here.